Welcome to On the Verge. I am your host, Kara Bradley, bringing you weekly blasts of no-hype advice, essential practices, strategies, insights from the edge, and all kinds of information about how to wake up, show up, and shine. I am so excited to be here once again on this mic, bringing you incredible stories from not only my life, but people that I work with, people that I read about, science that I read about. I have just been so incredibly curious these days that I am on fire, and I just can't wait to get to this mic and share it with you all. Today, I want to talk to you about one of the topics I talk about often, and that is our optimal, naturally optimal states of being. We spend way too much time living in our heads, living in disempowered states, living in subpar states of being, just kind of slothing through life. And there's just better ways to live. I'm just going to say it that simply. I want to take you back on a little bit of a journey, if you will. So sit back and relax and allow yourself to just let go into what I have to say, because it may just stir some of your own personal experience and your own, perhaps, hopefully, ahas. When I was younger, much younger, about 6, 7, 8 years old, we lived in a small town on the Long Island Sound in the summers called Bayville, New York. And we had a small bungalow, very small bungalow, just off the beach. And I would spend my summers there, very privileged to spend my summers there, barefoot from end of June to early September. No camp, no nothing, just the water and some couple of little toys. Well, every night, I would walk down to the beach by myself. My parents would let me. And I would sit on a dinghy, on a rowboat. All these rowboats were upside down on the beach, just, you know, waiting for their owners to use them. I would sit on a dinghy, and I would watch the sunset for a good half hour. I just sat there by myself. My mother and father would often ask, like, what are you doing? And I said, I just like to sit and watch the sunset. And what I recognized as a small child is that sunsets made me feel, different sunsets made me feel different ways. Oftentimes, you know, I would recognize that a bright, colorful, cloud-filled sunset would make my body feel full and dense and grounded, where an empty sunset, you know, where there was no clouds and the sun would just go down and that would be it, made me feel a different way. I felt more eternal or empty. And of course, I didn't have these words back then. I didn't need these words. And I think this is the point. I didn't need words to express or to make sense of what I was feeling. I just felt it. I liked it. I liked the way I felt when I watched sunsets. Fast forward to my 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old self when I was skating competitively. I was a figure skater, and I skated a lot. I skated before school, after school, on the weekends. I skated as much as I possibly can, as much as my parents would let me, because I loved it. I loved the whole idea of flying on the ice, of being free, of feeling open. And I skated a lot outside because we had an outdoor rink by us. Now, I was a mediocre skater. I was very regional. We didn't really have the money for me to be a national skater, but I didn't know. I didn't really care. I didn't really compare myself, to be honest with you. with other better skaters, and I did skate at a rink where there were national skaters, but I just, you know, I just didn't care. I loved this whole feeling of moving and breathing. And I had these experiences when I did something called figures, compulsory figures. Back then we had to do figures, and figures was when you went on you got a patch of ice, your own patch of ice, clean, pristine, untouched ice. And you went on that ice and you carefully placed a scribe, which was a compass, a big, huge compass. And you set the compass based on your height. And then you inscribed on the ice a figure eight. And you practiced for an hour drawing with your blade on this eight. And so you had to be on an edge. So if you think of a figure of a blade as being hollowed, you have an outer edge and an inner edge of that blade. And you had to draw or trace on that figure eight on an edge, either your outer edge or inner edge. Sometimes you would turn and you would be on your back outer edge or back inner edge. I mean, it was very sophisticated. They don't do figures anymore. I think that so many figure skaters rebelled against figures. They just didn't like it. I loved doing figures. Again, I was alone in my body. I remember the cold air of the rink, and the rink always had a certain smell, and the sense of just being on my blade. And I remember knowing when I was going flat on my blade. It felt different in my body because it was generally when I got caught up in my mind, when I was thinking about something. And when I got caught up in my mind thinking, I went flat. I wasn't able to hold my edge. I wasn't able to perform as best when I was in my head. And I remember this distinctly. Well, I had to stop skating competitively. It got to the point where it was too much money. I wasn't going to the Olympics. And so if I wanted to continue skating and enjoying skating recreationally, I was going to have to start paying for it. And so it was then at 15 when I turned pro. Back then, you were either amateur or pro, and I signed a paper and I turned professional. And at 15, I started teaching people how to skate in order to make money. And it was great. I was making money and I was paying for my skating. So that was a big turning point in my life. And I'm leaving clues here for you because you've had these experiences too. You've had moments back in childhood, and let's go back to childhood, your childhood. You've had these moments when what you were doing, you felt fully engaged in. You felt like you were accessing all your senses. You smelled more and tasted more. Your skin felt different. You saw things differently. You heard things differently. Now, you could have been doing something in your backyard. It could have been laying on the grass and looking up at the stars. It could have been drawing, you know, on the sidewalk with chalk. It could have been watching sunsets or sunrises, or looking out at the pasture, or looking out at the buildings. It could have been something that you were training to do, like dance or soccer or horseback riding. It could have been playing the piano or the violin. You know, when we're kids, we have these extraordinary experiences of being alive, of being fully engaged in what we're doing. You know, nowadays, a lot of kids are on video games and they're fully engaged. You know, who are we to say that that's a bad thing? We don't know. You know, have we ever asked, what do you feel like when you're on that Fortnite? Like, what are you feeling? What are you sensing? What are you thinking about? Could be a good question to ask if you've got one of those in your own life. So let's fast forward a little bit, taking you on my own journey here, but a journey into our sensory experience. I was 19 years old. I write about this in my book. And I had a life-changing experience on the track. I was a runner in a Division I school. I walked on to the track team, and I was running the 800. 800 is two laps around. Well, I was transferring colleges. I was transferring from the University of Delaware, which I loved, but transferring to NYU, kind of going back home, going back to the city, and was giving up my track career. So as a sophomore, I was running my last college track race. Again, I was mediocre. I was middle of the pack. I loved to run, but I wasn't great at it. I didn't take it all that seriously enough to be really good. Approaching my last college track race, I was there. I was an hour away from my race, and I did something very different than I normally did when I was running, when I was competing. I went off on my own. Again, something important there. I went off on my own and I started to do a jog. I was like, I'm just going to warm up by myself. I'm going to think about my career, my college, high school, college track career. And I went back and thought about some of my best races, and I thought about my personal best. And as I was running, I just started to say to myself, personal best, personal best. I decided that I wanted to try to beat my longstanding personal best, something I hadn't touched in a while. I wanted to just go out on top. And so I got myself into this mantra state, which of course I didn't say that back then. Personal best, personal best. And I sat quietly before my race and just sat with that. When I stepped up to the starting line, I felt very different than I had ever felt before a race, because usually I felt filled with nerves. My stomach felt very queasy. I knew I was headed into pain, right? That's what I was like. Why am I doing this? This is going to hurt. I know it's going to hurt. That was usually what filled my head. But on this day, this very special day before my last college track race, I felt clear and calm. I felt awake and alive. I remember smelling the spring air. Truly, I remember the sky was vivid blue. I remember the track was a bright red. And I remember standing there with my competitors, feeling relaxed in my body, feeling my body. The gun went off. I took off with the pack and I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran. And I don't remember thinking about anything until midway through the second lap when I passed our best mid-distance runner. And I thought, wow. She must be having a really bad day. And truly, truly, I thought that. I had no idea why I was passing our top runner. And I didn't even think about why. I just kept running. And I just remember the way my body felt. It's kind of like, you know, those movies when you see the horse running in slow motion and you see like all the rippling of their muscles. Of their shiny, sweaty muscles. That's what I felt like. Pshoom. Pshoom. I felt myself just in this rhythm. And I crossed the finish line in third place. And my teammates jumped on me. And I had no idea what had happened. Until I looked up at the clock and I saw that I had shaved multiple seconds off my PR. In the 800, the time is usually counted in hundredths of a second. I had shaved seconds off my PR. I had no idea what happened. I was like, oh my God, is that really my time? Well, I sat there having just come in third place And I thought, what just happened to me? What just happened? I felt so alive. I felt so awake. I felt so ordinary. This is really important. I felt so extraordinarily ordinary. I felt like I was a kid again, watching the sunset. I felt like I was a skater again early in the morning on that patch of ice doing figures. I felt authentically me in a way I hadn't felt for years. I knew then, absolutely then, that something had changed. I knew that I had accessed something extraordinarily ordinary. And I knew that if I had was able to, in that moment, I knew that if I could access this state of being, this natural state of aliveness and engagement, if I could access it on demand in my life, I would be not only happier and more successful, but everything that I would do with more ease and more grace and more aliveness and more engagement. I just knew that. It was like this wisdom had been downloaded into my being. You have felt this too. You have felt this too. We now know, I now know, what I experienced that day was a state called flow, was a state of optimal performance, was a state of optimal experience, of intense joy, intense sensory clarity, where I felt more, smelled more, tasted more, touched more, heard more, saw more. We have all felt this experience. I have spent my entire life seeking flow. And what I have learned is you can't find it. You really, truly drop into it. You access it. It's not something you make up. It's not something you manufacture. It's not something an app can get you to. It is something. It is a way of being that we are so naturally inclined to experience that it is at our fingertips in every moment. Flow is here, this natural state of awakeness, of engagement, of aliveness is just below the surface of your busy mind. It's just below the static of thinking, of worrying, of judging, of doubting, of stressing out about. Flow is, it's just below that, hidden in plain sight. And that's what I want to explore with you today. Getting to know flow. Getting to know this way, this optimal way of experiencing life, just like you did when you were a kid. This isn't something we have to learn to do. It's simply something that we have to start trusting. And the way to trust it, that it's right here at your fingertips and that you don't have to be in a race or on the ice or even in front of a sunset to experience. We can experience this natural state of aliveness whenever we want. So how do we do it? We start to look at what's happening moment to moment in our lives. The first thing we need to do is just to become familiar with flow. Flow happens all the time. And so I'm going to ask you this week, and we'll continue next week, but this week, just to start to recognize moments of aliveness. Start to recognize moments when you're deeply engaged. It could be at work. It's hopefully at work. And that's what we're going to spend more time talking about. But it could be, you know, in the morning. I talk about this all the time. It could be in the morning when you first get up. You know, when you hug your dog or your child or your partner. It could be during the day when you're taking that walk at lunch. It could be cooking dinner. It could be reading a book. It could be working out. Notice moments when you just drop out of your head and you drop into your body and you feel engaged and alive. That's your homework for today. Flow is this optimal state. It's a spectrum of states. And what I mean by spectrum is that it takes on many different colors. Sometimes it's extreme and intense. Sometimes it's very subtle and graceful. Sometimes it's very positive. Sometimes it's very intense. Maybe not so positive, but intense just the same. So it's a spectrum, like a rainbow of states that we can drop into at any moment, depending on the experience at hand and the situation at hand and who we're with and what we're doing. In flow, what most often happens is we feel awake, alert, and clear. We feel engaged in what we're doing, fully immersed and fully alive. In flow, who you are and what you're doing become one. In flow, action, what you're doing, and awareness, who you are, merge. You're fully engaged and energized, so much so that you forget yourself. You forget yourself. In flow, time seems to stand still, like those sunsets that went on forever. Or it speeds up, like the race went by so quickly, I had no time to think about it. In flow, your mind quiets down. You drop below the level of busyness, of thinking. Your inner critic, that judging mind, that doubting mind, the comparing mind, the worrying mind, goes quiet. Best of all, in flow, you feel so fully human, so fully alive, so intensely alive, optimistic, courageous, confident, content, and connected with life, with your body, with your breath, with your environment, with people around you. Everything you do in flow, you do better. Somehow, performance, our capacity to know what to do exactly in any given moment, goes through the roof. What we do supremely well when we drop below the level of busyness, the static of chaos. When we just let ourselves be in the moment, fully immersed, we do everything better. So, how do we get into flow? Right? As I said before, we access it. It's not like a light switch. Most often, it's something that we just kind of let go into. just like that day on the track when I went off on my own and I did this warm-up jog. And I just started to repeat to myself personal best. I relaxed myself. I relaxed my mind. I dropped into my breath. My breath became more balanced and deep. When my breath got more balanced and deep, my shoulders relaxed. I relaxed into my body. I felt more grounded in my body. I got out of my head and into my body, and I started to feel more. I sensed more. The clarity around me, in me, became more vivid. This is available to us. This is available to you. But the first thing we need to do is just to get to know flow. Get to know it all day long. Once you start to know it, you're going to start to know when you're not in it. You're going to start to know when you get swept back up to your busy mind, when you get swept back up into doubt, into insecurity, into fear, into judgment, into stress. And once you become really adept at knowing flow, you start to know immediately when you're not. And then you can start to apply simple ways to return to flow, to get back in. You know, it could be as simple as getting outside for a few minutes. I talk about them as mini wins. Once you start to be able to return to flow more often, then you're going to start to be encouraged. You're going to want to train to sustain it. Train to sustain flow. And this is where practice comes into play. This is when we start to strengthen our capacity to hold state more often, to not get distracted, to be able to stay focused. It's the Pomodoro timer that's training to sustain optimal states of focus. So this week, what I'm doing is simply stretching out the beginning, really stretching out the beginning and giving you some context for why I am so passionate about helping others, teaching leaders to understand optimal states so that when they understand it, when you understand optimal states, you can then speak about it and help others find it as well. So the first lesson is to simply get to know what it feels like to be aware, to be awake, to be engaged, and to feel alive in your body in this moment. Notice what you're doing. Notice if it makes you feel alive. And if it doesn't, what can you do to change it? Notice moments when you just naturally feel alive. Really lean into those moments because there's a lot to learn right there. Recognize those moments like the sunset or when you move your body or when you're deeply engaged in a project at work. And get curious about this. Once we get to know flow, you're going to know how to return to flow. And I'll offer you more tips as well. But you will know because you're going to want to be back there as fast as freaking possible. It feels too good. It feels too naturally good. And it feels that joy comes about because you feel like a kid. You'll go back like, oh my gosh, this is how I used to feel when I rode horses, when I ran, when I played hockey, when I played soccer, when I, you know, went for those walks under the stars. We deserve this. We deserve to feel that childlike aliveness. We deserve it every day. And we deserve to feel that way at work. We deserve to feel that way in what we do most often every single day. And that, my friends, is what I am so passionate about helping you all do. Not only feeling engaged and alive in the morning, wee hours of the morning or at night or in your spare time, but how about in how you spend most of your waking day? And that is at work. And this is to be continued. So for today, just go out there and notice aliveness and engagement. Notice it, write it down, keep a flow journal. I do it every single morning and night. How might I experience flow this morning? And I write them down. and how did I experience flow today, and I write it down. We deserve this. It's our most awake and alive state of being, and I wish it all for every human being on this earth is to experience this wakefulness and aliveness and engagement every single day. Go out there and get some for yourself. Woof. I thank you for coming on this journey with me. I hope you feel a little bit shifted. I know I do. Just hearing it and talking about it can often trigger it. It's one of the best ways to get into flow, is to really get curious about it. So that's it, my friends. Thank you for engaging with me. Check out some of the stuff that I'm putting out there, because I've got a bunch of this stuff on YouTube. And I also now have a movement practice you can download or access on my website called Bright Body, Calm Mind. So go check it out, carabradley.net. It's a 3-part video series. Drop in. I offer a bunch of the science behind this as well. Until next time, go out there and get yourself some flow, and we will check in a week. Take care.